system, innit? So before we start the last session, I won't bore you by going through all of the gospel events that I'd love you to know about, because you've made it here, so you probably get pestered by me via email enough as it is, but just two that I could quickly mention to you, if I may. The Taster Day for the ministry training course, which is the one day a week Bible handling theology course that meets here on Thursdays at St. Bart's. The Taster Day is Thursday 9th of March. We had a few years of kind of lower attendance impacted by COVID. This year was a great cohort of 30-35, so we really do rely on church leaders putting on people's agenda to keep that going, and that's of benefit to everyone there, to be able to give group, but also it's a way of giving people more informational power, or whatever that category was, and to helping people and equipping them. So the Taste of Day is a great way for people to get a taste of what the ministry training course is like. 9th of March, there are some of these flyers, please take them away. Then the one other thing is the Enjoying the Psalms Day. These are kind of homemade flyers, but there's a whole batch of them coming, which we will get out to you. That's 13th of May. It's like this. It's a Saturday morning, so it's three sessions, but finished by lunchtime. That is here at St. Bart's. That's for anyone, with Matt Searles, who lots of us will know is really helpful devotional material on the Psalms. It's going to be practical. It's going to involve looking at the nature of the Psalms, how we pray the Psalms, how we sing the Psalms. Matt's really great, so I hope you'll be able to advertise that freely in your congregations.
Is that different too? Because he did one last year at the Empire, isn't it?
Yeah, he did one last year for our partnership meeting group, so kind of particularly for church workers, ministers. This one's for everyone.
Right.
But it is similar content, there'll be overlap, yeah. So we thought it was so good, we'd open up
to everyone.
Yeah. So, two events. Finally, if you haven't paid for today yet, please come and see me and we'll sort that out. If you feel like you've paid too much, can't do much about that. But if you haven't paid, please come and see me. Thanks very much.
Great, thanks. Just before Adrian comes and gives us five voices, I just want to mention something that we've not talked about. Hello to Fran, hello to Hilary, I think. And I just want to mention the place of women within our church life and within those sorts of discussions. And I mention it because actually that's one of the weaknesses of the work I did. I left that as an open question, and also some stuff on power. So there's some stuff coming out later in the year on that. But here's a couple of ways to think about it. Even within churches where you might have a conviction that eldership is for suitably qualified men, I think there are two things we might just want to think about, and then I'll leave it at that. The first is, as I've wrestled with this question, that one of the tensions is between what I call eldership and leadership. So eldership is eldership as we've understood it. Leadership is more broadly those who make things happen and those who are involved in and have a leading part in pastoral work. And depending on your understanding of these things, your church polity, there will be women involved in leadership in one form or another who might or might not be involved in eldership. But the question is, how do those two speak to each other? How does the eldership hear those voices? And then more broadly, I think you will need to think about how pastoral attention is given to the women in the church, where the men, you might have more direct contact with the men than as elders you would have with the women. So just a couple of things to think about. There's a bit more within it as well, but I thought it would be useful, it was important to mention that as something that we're not talking about. Okay? Thank you. Adrian, over to you.
Right, why don't we pray again before we start? Heavenly Father, thank you for the things we've been learning. Please will you grant us not just the ability to be able to hear, but to be able to discern and to take what is good and be able to apply it to our own circumstances and contexts, to be able to discern what is unhelpful, just leave that to one side. Please, Heavenly Father, will you grant us that wisdom from above, we pray. We are aware we've had busy weeks, and so sitting down and digesting all this stuff on Saturday morning is a challenge, perhaps. So please, will you give us the attention we need and the thoughtfulness we need, the energy we need, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we work with people who are not like us. There is a great strength in working with people who are not like us. In many ways, the easiest kind of eldership team would be people who are exactly like us, who think the same way we do, who process information the same way we process information, who get wound up by the same things, who are pretty chilled about the same things. Now, that might make for an easy life for us, but actually, I hope you can see that there are all kinds of reasons why that's not going to serve the church particularly well. There won't be challenge, there won't be thoughtfulness and carefulness about decisions, there won't be that back and forth which often sharpens the iron sharpening iron. You know, actually, iron sharpens iron as they rub up against one another, as there's friction. I mean, it's not that we're looking for friction, but actually a different way of thinking about something often sharpens an idea. You know how it works. So actually, we need to rejoice in differences, but we need to have ways of recognising that those differences exist and how we work with them. And I think this is all tied up with our identity as believers. So just a little slide, just to kind of give a bit of biblical background. What is our identity? Well, our identity is rooted in the image of God, isn't it? We are made in the image of God. Male and female, we're made in the image of God. He created them. We're made in the image of God. We carry that that image in us, but it's damaged by sin. So we're both optimistic about life, but we're realistic about life. I think actually, as it happens, it's only the gospel that allows people to be both optimistic and realistic at the same time. If you're just optimistic about life, right, if you only believe in Genesis 1 and 2 and not Genesis 3, you are constantly disappointed by yourself and by others. If you only believe in Genesis 3, don't believe in Genesis 1 and 2, you become a tired old cynic. And you probably know leaders, obviously none of the people in the room, but you probably know leaders who fall into either of those two camps. But the gospel allows us to be both optimistic and realistic. That's really important. It also allows us to be honest about ourselves and have a right view of self. Here's a little exhortation from Romans 12:3. You'll know this well. For by the grace given me, I say to everyone, if you do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. That comes in a passage about gifting and equipping. But the idea there is we're all different, and actually we have to understand ourselves. That's part of gospel work. You know, it comes to godliness. You have to know what your besetting sins are. You have to be honest about them so that you can put them to death. And when it comes to, I think, the way that we work with others, equally, we need to be honest about who we are. But we also need to value others, even when they're different from us. And there's a lot of this expressed in Proverbs. Here's just one way it's expressed negatively. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. And it's always what I think, never listens to others. You can find lots of Proverbs like that. So part of being in a plural team, part of working with others, is learning to work with others, especially when they are different. So what I'd love to do is to introduce you to this tool that you might have seen it sent around in the email, you might have worked through the questions or not had time to do it yet. It's called Five Voices. It's a secular tool, it's not a Christian tool at all. It has some useful things in it, but like anything like this, it has its limitations, right? So it's not, you know, if you've ever done these sorts of things before, personality tests and things like that, you find some wisdom, but you also have to look at them with discernment. I find this particular one useful because it doesn't push things too far, and it does seem to identify who I am, and I find that quite helpful. But especially I want to talk to you a little bit about it in the context of how we hear other people and how we are heard. So much of what we do as leaders is about talking to one another, talking about things,
and we've got to do some translation work. So let me tell you up front, two of the things I find hardest when people say them to me, and number one, we've tried that before and it didn't work. Man, that drives me mad. Right? We've done that before, it didn't work. And when I hear that, do you know what I hear? What do you think I hear? I hear, we're not doing it. So I really react badly against that. The other thing I react badly against is, let's do this and not worry too much about how we do it. That really winds me up as well. And what I hear when I hear that is something like, it doesn't matter what it costs. I'm not really interested in detail, not really interested in people, just interested in the outcome. And that winds me up. But actually, I've got people like that that I serve with as fellow leaders. So I've got to be thinking about how do I really hear what they're saying, and it works both ways, how do they hear what I'm saying? Because there's probably stuff that I say that winds them up as well. So that's translation work, if you like, thinking how we operate. That's really important to avoiding disagreements, to avoiding misunderstandings. So I find this Five Voices thing really helpful. There's a book that goes with it, but you don't actually need the book. You can do it for free online, and if you sign up for free, they do send you some annoying emails which you can unsubscribe from. But actually, there's quite a lot of insights there, I think, from essentially what is worldly wisdom, but it's common grace, isn't it? There is wisdom in there if you can dig it in. Now, there are five voices. Let me just quickly tell you what those are. If you've not done this so far, if you haven't done the little exercise, just think to yourself as we go which one of these you are most like. Okay? Which one are you most like? We're all complex. So we've all got elements of all of them, probably. But which are you most like? So the nurturer is a people person. Right? So the nurturer loves people, relational harmony, values. They don't like conflict. Like everybody to get on. Okay? And often they won't speak up because they don't like conflict. A little bit there at the bottom, how do you help people like that? And if it's you, how do you seek help, I guess? You often need to let people like that speak first. Because if someone else speaks and says something authoritative or categoric, they find it very difficult to respond. So you often need to let them speak first. So they're champions of people. I guess because we're leaders in churches, all of us will have an element of that. But is this your dominant, which is actually your dominant voice, the nurturer? The pioneer. Who's the pioneer? Pioneer, go get first. The pioneer is the strategist. He's always thinking about the mountaintop. He's always thinking about what the end point's going to be, about solving out problems. But watch out for, can often lack sensitivity, sometimes lack emotional intelligence, can't always read other people, doesn't listen well, often appears arrogant. And you think, oh, you've got all the answers. That's often the pioneer. The creative. The creative loves innovation, loves structure, process, getting things right, working out the route. Can't always communicate clearly, and is a bit of a perfectionist. So needs to be allowed to work things through. And by the way, I put these on the cheat sheet that you've all got on your thing in front of you, so you can see them. Or you can just go onto the website and find them. And the Guardian. Guardian's a really important person. The Guardian is careful. Right? The Guardian is thinking about, do we actually have the money to do this? Do we have the people to do this? Is it realistic? Is this efficient? Those sorts of questions the Guardian is asking. They're very risk averse, can sometimes sound negative, can sometimes sound as though they're always critiquing things, thinking about why things won't work. So the pioneer wants to be, doing things, whether they, it's not really interesting whether they'll work or not. The creative will be coming up with ideas of how they can work. The Guardian will always be saying why it's not going to work. You can almost imagine the elders meeting, can't you? And then finally, this person, the connector. The connector is very interested in how people relate to one another. So it's not just that I'm interested in this person and that person. I'm interested in how that person connects with that person, how they collaborate, how we communicate with everybody, even though they're different. They always take every person who connects.
Every critique becomes a personal thing because they've been trying to include everybody. So if you critique them, you think, oh, they don't know what they're doing. Now, what I like about the Five Voices model is it basically says you need all of these for competent leadership. So it's not that you might be immediately thinking to yourself, well, if we had a leadership that didn't have any guardians in it, we'd be able to get stuff done. Actually, the guardian is really important. Because the guardian has got that knowledge of what happened before and why it didn't work. The guardian is thinking of other people all the time and how they might be impacted by something. And actually, if you have someone who can critique something and say, these are the reasons why it can't work, that's a really useful skill to have. So the Five Voices model is not that this person is a more natural leader than another person. The Five Voices model is basically designed to say, you need all of these voices or elements of these voices together to make good decisions, to come to good collaborative outcomes. And actually, the whole point of it is not saying I'm better than you because I'm a connector, you're a guardian, or I'm a pioneer, you're a nurturer, but to see how we can value each of those gifts within leadership teams and use them to grow together. Now, it won't surprise you to know, that's basically what I was saying, that each of these has a different volume. Right, so just with the person next to you, just on this chart you've got there, what do you think is the loudest of those voices, and which do you think is the quietest of those voices? Okay, it's two simple questions. What's the loudest? What's the quietest? So you're in a leadership team. Maybe you've got five elders in each of these groups.
Person, aren't they? Let's go for it. Come on. Just do it. Yeah. Find it. Anybody else?
The guardian saying no.
Yeah, the guardian's going to be quite quite outspoken. And anybody else? Have they been maybe
just chucking out ideas?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe not quite so loud, but certainly chucking out ideas. I think that's exactly right. When they actually do the research, it comes out something like that. But conversations are often dominated by a pioneer or by a guardian kind of character. So it is interesting, actually, if you're just thinking about how do you make sure everyone's heard in a leadership team, whether or not you think anything of this model, some people, you need to ask them direct questions, certainly, to find out what they think in a leadership team. Other people, you know, as soon as you say, what does anybody think about this idea? You know, you're having a discussion about home groups, Simon's come to the elders, talk about home groups, what do you think about this idea? You know in your mind already which of the leaders are going to speak straight away, don't you? And you know which you'll need to say,
And what do you think about that? What do you think about that? And why do you think that? So we could already see the dynamic is at work. What about this? Within leadership teams generally, what do you think is the most common of those voices? Just another minute with a neighbour? What's the most common? So distribution. And if you were to say which of those is the most common.
We're talking secular leadership.
The data is, because people have run the data, but not marginal difference. Marginal difference. So when you run this data in church, when you run it in church, it's even more skewed over this way, because people are, thinking about, you want to be a pastor because you care for people very often. So actually, the pioneers, the real sort of visionary leaders, it's not a particularly common voice. It's a very loud voice. You get someone like that in your leadership team, you know you've got them. But actually, so also in the Christian data, the Guardian goes up a little bit. Because actually, we are conservative. We're conserving a truth. And so actually, there are certain things about being a Christian, an evangelical in leadership, which will skew you a certain way. That's broadly what the distribution is. Here's my answer, if you're interested. I'm a creative connector. I'm about half between the two. And what's interesting is when you type the stuff in, this isn't what I've come up with, this is what it kind of plays back at me. And a lot of this, it resonates. So Adrian will be able to think out of the box, see dangers early, believe things can be better, be well organised, communicate well you might not think I can communicate well, be inspiring, know how, where to get resources, all of those, to a certain extent, I think are true. This, definitely true, will be inclined to people pleasing. I think that is my besetting ministry sin. I think that's true. That's the thing I really wrestle with, and probably over the last 10 years try to make most progress with. We'll take critical feedback personally, also true. So just that you begin to see how that's useful for someone else to know that about me. Because actually how they speak to me when they disagree with me, for example, can have a profound effect on me. So how someone who takes critical feedback personally, how would they differ from someone who kind of just, water off a duck's back? You'd probably be more direct with the other person. You'd probably have to take a more gentle approach with me. Struggle with people who don't accept his ideas or approaches. Definitely true. Sometimes be a perfectionist. Yeah, always. Really, it does describe me. Very interesting. Let's just do this. Let's just explore this question a little bit more. We've started to do this. So here are two people that I struggle with, the Pioneer and the Guardian. The Pioneer who says, never mind the cost, it will be worth it. And the Guardian who says, we've tried that before, it didn't work. So two little boxes I want you to fill out. You have to just put yourself in my shoes for a moment. So I'm a creative, I like processes, I like thinking about how people connect together and that sort of stuff. What do those people mean when they say those things? That's the first box. What does a Pioneer mean when he says, never mind the cost, it will be worth it? Just translate that for me, right? Google Translate, help me out there. The Guardian, we've tried that before and it didn't work. What does the Guardian mean when he says that in the elders' meeting? And then at the box at the bottom is just what I hear. So what do I hear when I hear those things? What do I hear when I hear a pioneer say, never mind the cost, it would be worth it? What do I hear when I hear the Guardian say, we've tried that before, it didn't work?
Have a go at that? 5 minutes?
Maybe you don't need that long. A couple of minutes. He says, never mind the cost, it'll be worth it. What do I hear?
Chuck him under the bus.
Yeah, chuck him under the bus. Doesn't matter, really. Yeah. Anything else?
I don't care about collateral damage.
Yeah, don't care about collateral damage. Just kind of, you know, the connector in me is just bristling. That's what I hear. Anything else?
Think going home.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not really thought about it. Yeah. And I think also I hear I won't take no for an answer. Doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep putting this forward until you agree to say yes. Okay? And that's what I hear. What does that person mean?
I've got a goal.
Yeah. Stretch is good, right? Let's not just go with average. Let's push ourselves on. Let's press on towards the goal. We probably put it even in biblical language. Press on towards the goal. Striving forward, yeah. Anything else?
Urgency.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an urgent need. We can't hang about. We talked about this for so long. Let's get on and do it. Yeah.
The pioneer is often thinking of the end goal, so possibly the benefit of the end goal is going to be worth the pain of the journey.
Yeah, yes. And that's a very Christian idea, right? That you're thinking, actually, the cost is difficult. But actually it's worth it in the end because of the goal. Whether that's in church leadership, coming back to stuff we were talking about at the beginning, you know, it's beautiful end goal we've got in mind. It's worth it together, yeah. Okay. Let's have a little think about the Guardian. This is a great help to me, by the way. Monday morning at 9 o'clock, so I'm really excited about this. We've tried that before and it didn't work. What do I hear?
We're not doing it again.
Yeah, no, that's it. No more talk. No, that's what I hear. It's very simple actually. Yeah, no. At no cost. What does a Guardian mean? You might say some Guardians in the room? I don't know. What does a Guardian mean? You say that?
I think we've got to learn from the lessons of the past. Isn't that what they mean?
Yeah.
Don't make the same mistakes all over again.
Yeah. So it's not saying no, it's just saying let's be careful. Yeah, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, you also hear it as a personal attack.
Yes.
You hear it's undermining your credibility.
Right.
Coming with an idea.
I'm saying no to you. Yes. It does become very personal.
In some cases, I think it can be, particularly if you're fairly new to a church, it can be they're playing the trump card.
Yes, yeah.
They're quoting something from years ago.
Yeah. I think that's all it's really helpful, exactly right. So a pioneer, what do they mean? Let's set some ambitious targets, there'll be challenges along the way. What do I hear? I won't take no for an answer. That's really what I hear all the time. But then the Guardian, equally, we've tried that before, didn't work. I think what they mean is let's think why it went wrong before, let's avoid the same mistakes, plan a different way this time. What I hear is no. You see how it begins to be useful? Did anybody put their data in and try this exercise and find it useful? Anybody willing to share? Tom, are you willing to share what you came up with, or do you want to keep it to yourself?
No, I'm going to share. I was high, I'm similar to you with Blitz, so I was high connected creator. And I'm really happy to see. I found the.
Was it insightful?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it had the kind of, I don't know if one of you did it, the kind of what triggers my voice weapon in terms of kind of what makes, kind of raises the stake.
Yeah, yeah.
That was huge insight. I think. You know, we were just chatting then. I find these things helpful in terms of they are kind of super kind of, oh goodness, this is me. But at the same time, I guess, and you may say this, but as a Christian, I don't want to say, oh, this is therefore my identity.
No, exactly right.
I want to pray into those other areas and think, no, exactly. I'm low as a nurturer, probably. Therefore, Spirit, please help me to grow in that.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I think that's exactly right. That's probably, yeah. I think in each of these cases, we have a natural inclination, probably because of how we're wired. As part of the brokenness, we're not evenly designed and balanced, or even designed, we're not evenly balanced now because of the fall. So we do want to be moving towards sanctification, and that includes leadership sanctification as well. I mean, so as a leader, I want to be much more concerned for individuals than I am. That's part of my pastoral sanctification. Exactly right. Anybody else? Did it and found it useful? Go on.
I came out as guardian.
Okay.
Connector.
Okay.
Yeah, and similar, really. I think, well, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom there. I think, yeah, that really describes me. What drives me. But gaps as well. Yeah. But okay. I think overall helpful.
Let's just try a couple of exercises. Remember, at this stage, we're just trying to say how we heard and how do we hear others. We're just trying to find ways to have useful discussions that actually mean we're not talking past one another all the time. It's fairly basic at that level. So what I want you to do is just find someone else. Don't ask them what they are, although you might have heard a couple now, but don't ask them what they are. But just then, I want you to talk to someone else about, let's say, a risky church plant, an exciting but risky church plant that you're thinking about doing. Okay? I want you to find someone else in the room. It doesn't need to be someone you're sitting with. You can get up and look around, I don't mind. I want you to find someone else in the room, and I want to play up. You've got to play up your voice. Right? And you've got to talk to this person about your church plant, okay, and see how you get on. So if you're a guardian, I want you to think of all the reasons not to do it, right, and really major on that. If you're a pioneer, I don't want you to say no for an answer, okay? So just play it up and just see how that dynamic works and see what you're hearing and how you're being heard, okay? So a little bit of role-playing. Who thought it? You've come to the South West Gospel Partnership meeting and you're doing role-playing. But it's fine, don't worry about it. It will be a help. So up you get, or where you are, find some sort of. We'll do this for about 5 minutes, right? 5 minutes.
Love you all.
This actually is us.
All right. Okay.
We've got quite a plan for revitalisation. We're hoping a year from now to revitalise the church, and it is new, exciting. So a church came to us to be part of last year. And now the stage where they want to come forward with it. And we're now with our church, we're going to raise a team to move forward. And yeah, I mean, it's would like to focus on the new and the exciting. So yeah, no, it's helpful to think what are they thinking. When you live with it, you've been thinking about it a lot, and all the implications of what's going to happen, and what's lost, and all that kind of stuff. And then someone else hears it for maybe 3 or 4 times, and they're coming up and going, "Oh, you've got one, eh? We can get that. Come on, we're going."
Why do I respond to what I do?
out of interest, some people are very excited about their church plants. Out of interest, how many risky church plants are now going ahead? Hands up if your church plant is going ahead as a result of something. Oh, a few of them are, that's good. We need church plants. How many are just on the back burner for now? A few people are putting on the back burner. Some of you are saying, I can't quite work out a cash memory. That's fine. It's just a tool. What we're trying to ascertain, what we're trying to get to the bottom of is how we speak, how we're heard, and how we hear others needs a bit of thought, right? Because otherwise, you're going to be stymied when it comes to, actually making all kinds of decisions, not just the really big ticket decisions, but even small decisions. Yeah. How are we going to reorganise our home groups? How are we going to make that decision? That's quite a sensitive issue in church life, isn't it? You know, especially if you start moving people around groups. I've been in that group for ages. I don't want to move you. If you start doing that, you need to think about it very clearly as leaders. So you need to know what the other leaders are thinking so you can make wise decisions. And you need one another, right? You can see how you need a voice that's slightly different from yours. So whether you use these categories or you don't find them helpful, I don't really mind. The idea is that if we're going to work together, we need to be able to listen well to one another. Important things. And learn from one another. Now let's try another little exercise. And I realise for some of you, you're just going to have to plump for one. I want you to go and stand in a corner, depending on what you think your dominant voice is, okay? And if you think, I'm not sure, or just choose one, doesn't really matter, that kind of slightly identifies with you, okay? So if you are, let's see how we're going to work this. Let me get them up here. And so if you're a nurturer, you're going to go in that corner. Some of the corners you might be on your own, by the way. If you're a nurturer, you're in that corner. If you're a pioneer, that corner. If you think you're a creative is your dominant voice, go in that corner. If you're a guardian, that corner. And you're a connector here with me. Right? So just go and stand in your corner. Come on, connectors. Okay. We've got a fairly even distribution, actually. Reasonably even. The creatives. Slightly smaller group. They've got a fairly even distribution. So this is what I'd like to do now. We're going to do the same exercise with a risky church plant, but I want you to go and grab maybe two people, maybe three people from different groups. Okay? I mean, it doesn't matter if it doesn't work out quite right, because there's only four of them. There's only four of them. And there's a whole heap of them. What are they? They're the nurturers. Oh, that's good. Okay. And if you feel you nurturers, you really want to pioneer, you've got to get in quick, right? So just grab two or three people who are different from you, or at least one person is different from you. Have that discussion again, risky church plant, and now listen to what the others are saying and think to yourself, what is useful about that point of view? What is useful about that point of view to you? Okay? So this time we're not just playing up our dominant voice, we're actually learning to listen to others. Okay, so grab a couple of people. This could be a bit of a bun fight, but don't worry. You're ready, steady. Sorry? You want to know which is which? You're the nurturers. This lot over there, the loud lot, are the pioneers. And the creatives are their guardians. They won't be moving, so you have to go to them. And the connectors are here. Okay, off you go. As long as you've got two of these people with you, it's okay.
I think you've been spot on sometimes.
Are you someone? Are you a girl?
Big eldership teams. I've got a question for you. What did you hear that was helpful that you hadn't really perhaps thought about? What did you hear that was helpful? Would you like to volunteer anything? So this is your chance to say someone else said, but what did you hear from someone else that was helpful to you?
Pioneer gave me detail in terms of some of the steps that they thought of.
Okay.
Not just the end point.
Okay, so there was some sort of stop-off success points, if you like.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. But then that you're a guardian, right?
Yeah.
That's concerning. Was that helpful, just thinking about here's some steps on the way?
Yeah, not just, I only care about the end point. Don't ask me about
it. So there's more than one end point,
yeah.
Basically. Okay, yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah. What else did people hear that's helpful?
And it was acknowledged that it wasn't straightforward.
Okay.
There were still questions to be answered along the way.
Right.
So
once you've decided, you can't just say, right, we've made the decision, not going to take any, you know, we'll never talk about it again. You keep coming back to it and accept that. Yeah, that's really helpful, yeah. So the ability to be able to revisit things, some people will find that much easier than others. Some people see that as a failure, whereas other people see that as a necessary step. Okay, thank you very much. What else do people have?
I thought I couldn't put a group together, which really may amuse me. So I'm no pioneer in my way. I, at one point, had one of every type, and yet when we landed on the far side, I'd lost my nurture overboard somewhere. That's how,
what do you learn from that?
I think it's exactly how ministry works for me. I start off in one direction, it's utter chaos, and then at the end, it's just where we started.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Well, I think we're laughing about it, but actually that is real. I think that's true. Yeah. And I think certain people find it very difficult to follow pioneers. There's something about a pioneer that's very attractive in a leader. Depends on your nature. But actually there's some things that other people find frustrating. And if we know that as church leaders, that's really helpful. You know, actually that's helpful to our preaching, isn't it, for example? And it's helpful to all kinds of things. Some people need little baby steps. And if we're only ever giving them big steps and not the little baby steps they need, we're not actually serving people well. So it's actually part of being able to serve our flock well, I think. Yeah, one other insight. Another insight, yeah.
Our pioneer mentioned that actually if you don't take any steps, you're never going to do anything.
Yes, right. So if you don't have someone to really pull you through, the chances are you're just going to never go anywhere, right? Yes, that's right. I hope you can see how this kind of thinking, you don't need to use this model, but actually just doing that work of thinking, how do we work as a group? How do we function? I think actually as you develop trust and friendship, remember, amongst leadership teams, I think some of this stuff becomes obvious. You kind of know how people tick. Those of you who, I know not everybody may be married, but those of you who've been married and maybe for quite a few years, you begin to know someone. You know how to, you know how to interpret the look or the silence or the. So one of my characteristics is if I don't get my own way, I sulk. Or if something is wrong, I go very quiet. Don't speak up, I go very quiet. And Celia, my wife, has learned to interpret that. So she's able to say, what's wrong? Because actually silence counts for something, and that's how relationships work, and it's no surprise really that amongst leaders it's exactly the same. Let's spend just the last few minutes praying together. It'd be good to do that, wouldn't it? And maybe just think of one or two things that have been really helpful today. Just discard the others, and one or two things that have been helpful we want to take back and perhaps think about a little bit more. And maybe just with the person next to you, or in twos and threes, if we try and do it in large groups, I think we probably won't hear one another. So just with the person next to you, let's just offer up our prayer, shall we, as we think about the roles that God has called us to. Why don't we do that? I'll come and join you guys over there. Thank you.
Yeah.